Patrick McConnell, what is Vinyl Log?
Vinyl Log is a story about me growing up in approximately 972 miles from here in Dixon, Illinois. And I'm combining storytelling with my love of music. And basically, I was surrounded by corn for hundreds of miles in all directions. And the way we were able to escape all that while we lived there, our mundane existence, was through listening to 45s. And a big part of that was signing up for Columbia House Records and tapes.
Well, let me ask you how old you are, since that I think it will give people some context.
No, you can't.
I'm going to speculate here for our listeners. If you were getting your music through Columbia House Record and tapes, I'd say you'd have to be between 35 and 55.
I would say you're correct. No, I'm 49 years old.
All right, so go on.
Dixon, Illinois is about 100 miles west of Chicago. It's actually the hometown of Ronald Reagan, and John Deere invented his plow there. So a century and a half later, there is corn in all directions. And it's maddening. It drives us crazy. We can't see past it. There's no escape. There's tons of chores that we have to do. And, you know, our parents worked hard, so they weren't around a lot. So they kind of left us to our own devices. It's kind of like a Lord of the Flies existence. And the only way my friend Ace and I, he's one of the main characters, can escape that is listening to 45s. And we literally get trapped inside these songs. And, you know, we become the song. So that's our escape. That and monster movies, creature features. And that's all in the story that I'm, all the stories I'm going to be telling.
So you're set up on stage. Are you going to be DJing while you tell the story?
I will be playing some records while I tell my stories. And then some of the sound cues will be coming from Ben Pratt, who is a sound technician down there, just to make sure the stories flow nicely and I don't get trapped up in, you know, doing my own cues. But, you know, I will be playing a lot of the records myself and combining that with stories. It's kind of like This American Life, because they'd have those poignant moments where you just have to have some music there, you know, and it just all kind of blends together nicely.
I don't think I've ever seen somebody DJ their own story. Have you ever seen anyone?
I Googled that to find out if anyone had done that so I could get some ideas, and no one's really done it. So it should be a unique experience.
As far as like monologues go themselves, it's a difficult genre, and it often sort of combines elements of theater and very frequently comedy. You obviously incorporate a lot of comedy into your works, but they are also heartfelt. And I wonder how you think about the genre.
Well, one of the things I like to do is, I mean, there were a lot of dark moments in my childhood. So what I like to do is get people, you know, laughing at some of the stories I tell. And then I tend to pull the rug out from underneath them, and then I make people feel a little bad. Like, why am I laughing at that? It's kind of not very nice. But it's all in good fun. And, you know, my heart's in the right place telling these stories. And, you know, I lived them. So, you know, and again, music was always an escape for us, you know, no matter how bad things got, no matter how much abuse was handed down to us at the hands of bigger kids or adults, you know, there was one escape. And Columbia House really saved the day for us. When I got into the Columbia House deal, you know, you could buy 8 records for a penny. And I was like, who needs to read the fine print on that one? And, you know, I ordered these records, and you know, when they finally came, it was like Aerosmith, AC/DC, Black Sabbath, The Beach Boys, Bachman Turner Overdrive. I mean, I didn't even make it to the D's. I was like, why rush this thing? 8 records for a penny? I mean, I can do this deal all day long, you know. And the thing about Columbia House Records and Tapes, they take really good care of you. I mean, if you forget to order more records, they send you more records. And
but you got to buy more records,
well,
too.
I had no idea that was the situation until I came home one day and my mom was on the porch. She didn't look too happy. And she had a letter from Columbia House's lawyers saying I was being sued for a breach of contract for failing to fulfill my obligation to purchase 6 more records at the regular price. And then my mom laid it on thick and told me if I didn't come up with $27.86, we were going to lose the house.
That doesn't sound like much money now, but
back then it was a lot of money for, you know, I was 11, 12 years old during the time of this story. So the story kind of picks up from there, and, you know, we went to my friend Ace's dad to get advice, and he was like, I'd like to help you, boys, but you're too lazy to work and you're too scared to steal. So Ace was like, hey, Pat, you know, we should take his advice. So we came up with a series of scams that were groundbreaking for Dixon back then. Ways to come up with scams to pay off some scammers. And that's kind of the genesis of the story, just trying to find a way to make money without working or stealing. It was a fine line, and it was a fun time.
What do you like about monologuing as opposed to just doing stand-up comedy, say?
What I love about monologuing is, especially when it's recorded for future, is documenting my childhood for my kids and their kids. And if I can just get, you know, because, you know, once I'm gone, if I don't tell these stories, they're gone. They go with me. So I want to document these stories, and so my kids can know what it was like to be a human back in the mid-70s in an area that was surrounded by corn.
I grew up in Colorado Springs, and I can certainly appreciate the need to see beyond, you know, what is a pretty provincial place and to want to know what's going on. I mean, for me, it was skateboarding. It was like, how do I get to San Francisco and get to Skates on Hate? And, you know, how do I learn these tricks, and how do I get my hands on a real skateboard? And I think it's hard to understand now that everything is available at your fingertips, how desperately isolated you can feel, even in a mid-size city.
It was 21,000 population, but that included about 5,000 people that lived at the mental institution on the edge of town.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one of the parts in the story deals with the deinstitutionalization of these patients.
During the Reagan years.
Exactly. Governor Thompson had a great idea. We could save $6 million a year if we just closed down the snake pit, is what it was called back then. They had 5,000 patients there in a facility originally designed for 1,800. And, you know, once that place was closed down, you know, the patients that were lucky enough to have money were transferred to private care facilities around the state. But many of them simply just walked out the front gate and ended up on the streets of our town, including my arch nemesis, Crazy Jimmy. You know, the state saved $6 million a year, and what did we get? We got Crazy Jimmy. My last memory of him was he cornered me in Guys and Gals pool hall at the pinball machine and twisted my arm behind my back and was going to break it. And, you know, he's like, give me your money, give me your money. And I was like, I don't have any money. And that's when I saw Crazy Jimmy's soft side, because he reached in his pocket and gave me 50 cents. And then he turned around and said, now give me your money. And he took it back. So, you know, it was like Crazy Jimmy, you know, he was like a deranged drill sergeant.
So this is like so much great American literature, coming of age story set in a small town. And to find out what became of you, we'll all have to go see the show. Patrick McConnell, thanks so much.
Thanks, Noel.
All right. Break a leg.